it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, it is a Sunday, and it is a gorgeous day for baseball. And hello again, baseball fans. Tonight, the Orioles, today, under sunshine, Orioles and the Angels about to close out a three-game series. In the old rubber game last night, tough loss after a 40-minute rain delay and an umpire delay as well. So we'll see what happens here this afternoon. Buck Showalter right after this.
Good morning. Everybody sleep real fast. Got three more rain delays scheduled today.
Buck, you got Davis back. He's just feeling better? The illness is past?
I don't know. Everybody, there's periods you go through. You know, we went through some evaluation with Cassie yesterday. He felt fine. Went through batting practice. The good thing about being outside is you get a good feel for those guys, how they feel physically. But not every illness is the same. They may have the same virus or whatever, but some people have different degrees of it and different. So, yeah, I mean, Chris actually was communicating with him last night about possibly pinch hitting. So, you know, I talked to him some yesterday while he was here, trying to keep him away from everybody. But, he's talked to him a little bit after the game last night and again today. He's ready to go.
Look, you've talked about not setting out guys who have pitched well or trying not to. Do you feel like you guys have done a good job with that this year, or do you feel like you've sent out more guys than you would like who had been pitching well?
I don't know if I can think of anybody that's been pitching real well.
Barrett.
It's a good example of sending someone out who wasn't pitching well. Except for that, I think, that one time in New York that you're talking about. And that's been proved to be a pretty good move.
I mean, do you feel like you guys have done a good job with that, I guess, even with having a short bullpen at times?
Real good. I'm real proud of that. The guys know that they pitch well, they're going to stay. We're going to do everything possible to keep them.
Buck, you talked about this before, and we alluded to it, I guess, a little bit last night as well. And I know it's August and Camden Yards and it gets hot and, you know, so 14 home runs in the last 2 days. But across Major League Baseball, you're looking at a chance for 6,000 home runs this year.
What's the record?
As five, I'll tell you in a second.
So it would break it.
It's 5,693 in 2004.
693, okay.
And it was 5,610 last year, so it was close to it.
I thought it was 11. All right.
But so this year you guys are on pace. I mean, it's there's a possibility for Major League Baseball to do that. It'll, you know,
that is not a surprise to anybody in here, I'm sure.
Right. So the question to you is, I mean, I know there's not one thing, but if you had to pick one thing that's the most likely reason for that,
there's a part of you which might find the game a different look at the game if there weren't as many home runs and there was a different style of play. Maybe that, you know, so someone that thinks they're creating more offense, if someone could do that to a baseball.
How much is the
I don't know. What do you think it is? Pitching, the velocity that guys are throwing at, balls, it's just the boomerang fact alone. If I'm hitting your bat with 88 and he's hitting your middle of your bat with 95, I mean, the average velocity of fastballs goes up almost every year now.
Trumbo says that he thinks it's exactly that. It's the power game. There's so many arms coming in that are throwing that, and they're not trying to pitch the contact. They're trying to strike you out, and the hitters are trying to hit it out.
Mark could be a good source because, you know, he's able to articulate it pretty well, and I think that's why you see a lot of really, because guys are not cheap, but they're having to get committed to a fastball velocity. It makes them so much more susceptible. I'm sure you set up there sometimes, the Chiefs, how do they swing at that? Well, when you're committing to 97 miles an hour fastball, your pitch recognition sometimes goes away. Where are the strikeouts at, comparatively speaking? Because, you know, and also there's a better return for home runs, you know, certain evaluations. I don't know, it's like trying to evaluate where the level of defense is better or worse. You know, how do you evaluate that?
I mean, obviously the baseball one, there's always going to be questions about if guys are making themselves stronger one way or the other.
Oh, yeah, certainly. They come to our weight room, any weight room. You know, nowadays, the visiting team weight room, everybody's required to have one. Used to be you carried a couple of barbells on the road. I mean, I know how we travel. You know, the stuff that they take on the road to make sure that's there.
It is a gorgeous day for baseball. Nice to have you aboard. In a moment, Ben McDonald will visit with Chris Hoyles, a couple of members of that 1992 first Oriole Park team. When we continue with the warm-up show right after this. Well, the Orioles and the Angels coming up in the finale of the old rubber game. Orioles are trying to make it 2 out of 3. Chris Tillman back in the starting rotation. And today he takes on former Oriole prospect Parker Bridwell, is off to a 7-1 start. It should be a very interesting confrontation. In a moment, Ben McDonald and Chris Hoyles, former great Orioles catcher, when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Ben McDonald here on the Orioles radio pregame show, talking to one of my favorite guys, going back now, 25th anniversary of Camden Yards, Chris Hoyles. Career batting average just over 260, 151 home runs, 449 RBIs, all in a 10-year big league career right here with the Orioles, Orioles Hall of Famer. Chris, what's occupying your time mostly these days?
Really just enjoying retirement. You know, my oldest son Dalton's a senior, going to be a senior at Shippensburg University, had a great career, so follow him around. But then my middle boy, Derek, just graduated high school. He played. So chasing him around and just enjoying retirement, Ben.
And you did a little bit of managing, coaching a little bit along the way. You enjoyed that experience as well?
You know, yeah. It was fun managing the 3 years up in York, PA, independent league. That's a little different because you don't have a minor league system and you got to kind of have a stable of guys that you can call when guys leave, get hurt, get called to the big leagues or whatever, the organization didn't really have that. So did that for 3 years, but helped out at the high school level, did some travel ball stuff. I've been involved with coaching pretty much since I retired.
Mm-hmm. Just like in staying with the game, enjoying, love still teaching the game of baseball to even really, kind of like me, really all levels. You know, it's just a lot of fun to kind of pass it on. I know you're big about passing on. You had some good coaches coming up like I did too, so I enjoy that experience as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think being able to pass it on and get back to the game that treated us so well. You know, one thing is I do a lot of lessons, catching lessons, hitting lessons, get into the pitching a little bit because of the catching thing. Not so much mechanical sometimes, but mostly just talking pitching and catching. I think sometimes that's kind of a lost art, especially in the lower levels, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old. By the time they get into high school, you know, hopefully I can teach them something from the pitching and catching standpoint that they can utilize there. So hitting, I really enjoy the hitting lessons and working with young hitters and teaching them the ins and outs. And sometimes it's tough. I mean, even with you, I'm sure, you know, sometimes the verbiage that we have is, you know, we talk above a lot of them younger kids, and you got to kind of back it down and learn what works for each individual kid. But I really enjoy giving back to the game.
Me and you came up about the same time, late 80s, early 90s. Memorial Stadium to me was a great ballpark. But then we moved into Camden Yards. I don't know about you, but it was just a wow factor for me. The fans were so close. There were no Ravens. There were no Nationals down the road. We were the only game in town, man. And this place here, Camden Yards, has really stood the test of time over 25 years. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years. But what was your first impressions the first time you stepped in Camden Yards opening day?
Well, it was awesome. And again, kind of rewinding a little bit, like you said, coming up together with Memorial Stadium, being able to play together in AAA. You know, making it to the big leagues, I know you probably echo the same thing, but making it to the big leagues, it was a dream of mine. And being able to even, you know, play in Memorial Stadium, which was home for the Orioles for a lot of years. But then being able to kind of bring in the new era with you and Mussina and myself and Leo and all these young players that was coming up. Johnny Oates even, you know, Johnny and Dick Bosman and those type of guys. You know, being able to be a part of that, walking in this place, walking in the clubhouse here, I think it revived the whole city. I really do. I mean, you look at the city of Baltimore now, it's unbelievable. A lot of people enjoy coming back. There's a lot of sights, but this stadium means a lot to me. Just because you being able to, the newness of it, it looks better today than it did, I think, in 92. It just hasn't aged, and they continue to do great things with this place. And to be able to call this place home has been pretty special.
Any favorite? I know there's got to be a lot of great memories. Obviously, you spent your whole 10-year career right here in the Orioles Hall of Fame. Is there one or two of your, maybe could be a team favorite moment, individual favorite moment here that you can think of?
Hitting one out of here at 52 years old, that was pretty fair.
Yeah, well.
It keeps coming.
Chris Hoyle just hit a long homer here in the home run derby, and so he's battling it out with Brady and the other guys. Mike Devereaux is kind of finishing up right now. But, yeah, at 52, that was a long one.
Yeah, 52 years old is still no. But you know what, Ben? We both had a lot here, and me personally, I mean, the walk-off grand slam, obviously, I think is is one that everybody remembers, and I'll never forget. You know, just being able to throw on this uniform and play here, going through Cal Streak, having Eddie Murray come back and hit his 500th home run here. And you know, there's so many. I don't know if we can, you know, Rex Barney. You know, Rex Barney is kind of a lost guy, but having Rex Barney as a PA guy and been here for years, and Chuck Thompson and all those guys. There's just so many emotions whenever you come back here and you're a part of an event like this in 25 years, trying to pinpoint one or two.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that I played with, just like you. I mean, we stay in contact pretty much throughout the year. And since we left, but just the relationships you develop with the guys means a lot to me as well.
I'm going to take you back. Let's go back to 1992. And I wrote this question down. I asked Greg Olson the same thing. Knowing what you know now, let's go back 25 years to 92. What advice would you give a young Chris Hoyles right now? Maybe not about baseball. Could be about life. Could be about anything. But if you could go back and talk to yourself 25 years ago and knowing what you know now, is there any one thing you could put your finger on, any advice you'd give yourself?
Well, I think the biggest thing is enjoy the moment. You got to savor being here, because you know it was taken away from me with a hip injury. You know, my last year was 98 and had a total hip replacement in 2004. You know, I still thought that I had some years left of playing, but you know, I think a lot of people, when they make it, it's a dream of theirs. But they take it for granted when they get here, and savor every minute of it and enjoy what you're doing. Understand what you're doing. Understand you're a role model. Understand that people and kids look up to you. Autographs mean everything. And you can change somebody's day. So, you know, I think for me, that's the biggest thing. You just enjoy yourself and savor the moment.
Boy, that's some great advice. Chris, appreciate your time, folks. There he is, Chris Hoyles, one of the best catchers ever to put on an Oriole uniform, Oriole Hall of Famer, and one of the all-time good guys in the game of baseball.
Orioles, Angels in the rubber game, coming up on the Orioles Radio Network. And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Ben McDonald back at Oriole Park at the Camden Yards in the loss column again today. Angels wind up taking 2 out of 3. And today, Ben, the Orioles lose a tough one-run game. The Orioles this season are now 13-15 in one-run games. And the way the wild card race is going, these games become ultra-important. And again, Ben, today is all about starting pitching. Kevin Gausman, Chris Tillman, I beg your pardon. Tillman, I think I'd say another iffy outing for him.
Yeah, just, you know, command wasn't there. He walked 6 in the ball game. He only gives up 4 hits, so it wasn't a problem. They were pounding him all over the yard. Unfortunately, 2 of them leave the yard. You walk 6, all of a sudden you're out of the ball game. Again, the bullpen was good again today for the Orioles. I mean, O'Day battled through it good. Brock ended up giving up the one run, which was the game-winning run, actually. But if you go look at the series, the relief pitchers for the Orioles have been outstanding. They 13 innings in this series, only allow one run, only give up 6 hits. So the bullpen's good, but you're right. We keep saying this, and it keeps boiling down to the starting pitching. Not any of the three in this series. Hellickson struggled. Gausman wasn't very good either. He struggled at times. Of course, Tillman again today with a little bit of a struggle as well. So if the starting pitching just needs to pick up just a little bit. The offense wasn't great last night. It does pretty good tonight. It pushes across 4 runs and really got the 9th inning off to a good start. Leadoff guy gets on but unable to push a run home. Bud Norris in the end was really too good. He gets 2 big strikeouts and a ground ball back to him to end it. So Oakland comes into town tomorrow, and hopefully, you know, the Orioles have got to start finding a way to win 2 out of 3 every series to get back in this thing. Maybe they'll find a way to sweep the Athletics, and if they can do that, winning 4 going 4-2 in six games at home. Pretty good weekend, but that's a tall tale.
Yeah, it is. Well, the Orioles right now are having great difficulty putting together back-to-back wins. And what they need right now is maybe a little streak of maybe 5-6 in a row, or maybe win 8 out of 10, and that wild card thing becomes a real possibility.
Absolutely. And it's there. It's in the tank form. You got to think that it's there. I mean, the other teams have done that, and the Orioles certainly just as talented, the offense. But again, it's going to begin with the starting pitching for the Orioles, and it has to get a little bit better. And you hope Wade Miley is on his game and pitches a big game for the Orioles tomorrow, because I still say the offense is enough. It's good enough. The bullpen is really good. I think that it just hinges on more consistent starting pitching.
All right, Ben. Great work, great fun. Have a great Sunday night in
yes,
the Inter Harbor, and we'll see you tomorrow night, right?
Looking forward to tomorrow night. Let's win some ball games.
That's a good idea. Ben, your record was 8-2 until the last two games, and now it's 8-4.
Yep.
Hey, you're in a slump.
I'm in a slump. I got to do better, but we're going to win three games in a row. I got that feeling.
There you go. Hang in there. All right, great fun again. Ben McDonald. And, nothing in the top of the second inning as Tillman began his game today with a 1-2-3 first on 12 pitches. But then Calhoun came up, the leadoff hitter, in inning number two. Now the next offering is swung on and driven to deep right field. Way back there, another Angels home run. My goodness. And that was a no-doubter. Now the Angels came in, they hit 17 home runs on what is an 8-game road trip right now. And today, they begin the game with a home run in the second inning. It's 1-0 Angels. Yeah, 1-0 at that point. Then in the bottom of the second, actually the bottom of the third, earlier the Angels in the top of the third inning had been able to extend the lead. One out, base is empty. Ben Brevier got a walk. He stole second base, so he got into scoring position for Albert Pujols. And the 1-0 pitch, line drive, base hit left field, right through the hole. So here's Brevier being waved in. Up the ball, Mancini. His throw is much too late. On one bounce, it's 2-0 Angels. So there's that stolen base. It pays off. It did. Gave the Angels a 2-0 advantage. But then in the bottom of inning number three, it was the big fella, Chris Davis, coming up as the leadoff hitter. There's a fly ball. Left field backing up. Revere backing up. Way back there. He's going to jump up. Beat that baby. Bye-bye. Revere just missed it. And I think it landed in the first row. The big fella. Opposite field. To make it a 2-1 game. Yeah, 2-1 at that point. Later, Tillman had gone five innings, and it was a 2-1 game. And then, he came out for the sixth inning. He got a line drive out off the bat of Pujols. But then he walked Calhoun, his fifth walk at that point in the game. And then Simmons came up to hit, and suddenly the Angels had two more. And there's a high fly ball. Talk about home runs. Way back in the left field corner, and that ball is long gone. Andrelton Simmons with number 13 for him. And it comes with a man aboard. That's a two-run homer. It is now 4-1 Angels. So there you go. Then came the bottom of the sixth inning against Parker Bridwell, the Angels starter and the former Oriole prospect. He gave up a leadoff single to Caleb Joseph. And then Beckham came up and was on base on an error on a play at second base. And then Machado singled to load the bases for Jonathan Scope. At Bridwell in a jam. Scope digs in. And the right-hander from the belt. He delivers. And Scope lines it into left center. That ball dropping. That ball dropping. That's a base hit. Caleb coming in. Beckham is being waved in. He will score. The ball back into second base. Machado goes to third. And suddenly, it's a one-run game. Angels ahead 4-3. Orioles got first and third with nobody out. Yep, the Scope RBI's numbers 87 and 88. Exit, Bridwell. Enter, Middleton. You got Jones on a force out. Mancini struck out. But then Trumbull got it done with two outs. Here we go, 3-2. And here it comes. Fastball, Trumbull lines it out to the gap in right center. That ball is way back there. It bounces on the warning track. And it will leave the ballpark. It'll be an automatic double. But the tying run comes in to score. Scope comes in. On a double by Trumbull, and it's a 4-4 game. Trumbull gets it done with two outs. Yeah, big hit right there. It stayed that way until the eighth inning. Oriole bullpen. We saw Darren O'Day in the sixth, Brock in the seventh, and Michael Givens eventually came on in the eighth inning. But Brock was in trouble in the eighth. He walked the leadoff hitter, Calhoun, and then Simmons struck out. But then Valbuena came up, and Brock walked him. Exit Brock, enter Givens. Who then got to Crone on a pop-up. But then Cameron Maben came off the bench and delivered what turned out to be the game-winning hit. The 1-2 pitch on the way, going the other way. Line drive, that's a base hit. Gentry has it. Hit the throw toward the plate. It goes right past Caleb. And Givens backing up on the play. The run scores. So Calhoun scores from second base. In the eighth inning, Angels have gone ahead 5-4. Yeah, stayed that way until the bottom of the ninth inning. Bud Norris came out to pick up a save. He gave up a leadoff single to Gentry. But then Davis struck out. Smith got a walk to put the tying run at second base. Caleb Joseph had a marvelous at-bat, but he would strike out. Out number two, Beckham came up to hit. He had gone hitless the entire afternoon. And after the ninth inning today, he remained hitless. Beckham digs in. Bud Norris trying to end it. Here it comes. Beckham ground ball. Back to Norris. He knocks it down. He'll pick it up and then underhand the ball to get the final out. That's how the game ends. And the Orioles are today in the loss column. And it is the Angels who take 2 out of 3. And the Orioles lose a one-run game in the finale. Angels win it 5-4. And now the A's in town with the Orioles hoping to survive. Yep, game one tomorrow night. We'll continue right after this. Well, the Orioles today scored just 4 runs. They wind up in the loss column here this afternoon. Yep, in the loss column here this afternoon. Angels wind up taking 2 out of 3. And let's head downstairs. Buck Showalter with the media after the game.
What's up?
6 walks from Chris. Is that more of the same, or did you see some things that you liked?
Well, I think we walked, 9 guys today? It's like turning the lineup over complete time without earning it. You're going to have a tough time winning those games, but we had a shot. Some good things in between those, but, you know, we out hit them, but if you put the walks, I'm surprised they only scored 5 runs. Hopefully that'll get better. Stuff was, I thought was better, but semi-step. We'll see. A lot depends on where he goes from here. But, you take away the slider that Simmons hooked down there in the corner. Wasn't bad.
He kept his foot down more than he had in the past.
Somewhat. Especially early. I thought he got through the first inning. I thought that was a good sign. You know, but I get through it, but just pitched it without throwing 35 pitches. And the walks, I'm sure he'd like to have back. You know, there was just some pitches that were balls right out of his hand that there's not really anything competitive you get back for those pitches. But I know it's better than his last outing, and, you know, and hopefully he'll build on it. I talked to him in the dugout. It felt pretty good, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch again, see if he can go to another level that we all know he's capable of.
Using Britton in the eighth inning with him having 3 days off?
We consider everything. Fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, all those things. But we had Michael, who's very good at that. A lot of people available to do the job real well. You know, he could have brought Brock in the fifth inning, could have brought Michael in the ninth inning. There's a lot of options there.
What did you see that you liked about Tillman?
I thought the stuff was a little crisper. Fastball, was pretty consistent. But the command was a challenge for him. You know, I'm trying to, you look at the runs given up other than the last two, you know. But we did give him up, and we did make a pitch that we'd like to have back. But, you know, he did a good job with Trout and Pujols for the most part. But usually you hold those two guys in check without a whole lot of damage. You like your chances.
Is he on a spot start basis, or would he go in turn next time?
He'll start again, and we're trying to give some guys some rest. You know exactly when it is after the off day. We're going to kind of wait and see how things go. So we really won't set things in stone until after the off day.
Okay, you guys took advantage of that, the error by Pendon, and then just unfortunate with the ground rule double that looked like.
Yeah, it's a I think we all know 3-2 count, people running on the pitch. It's a rule that doesn't make any sense. You know, I think both teams would agree with that, but you know, it's one of those things that someone will say, that's the way it's always been done. Well, it's always been done wrong, but today it bit us. We used to have that problem a lot when we had that synthetic warning track. Usually doesn't happen there.
Thank you.
know these guys are in front of you and you're trying to catch them. How tough is it just to, you know, one win here, one loss, kind of going back and forth, not being able to make up the ground that you wanted at this point?
Yeah, we'd like to win the series. We'd like to win all three. We didn't, we had a good opportunity today, but they pitched a little bit better than we did.
Is that an opportunity loss that you, like Dan said, you've seen these guys a lot the past couple of weeks, and with them being in the mix here, and you're not going to get these head-to-head opportunities with the side?
Oh, there's, you know, the competition is us. You know, it's us playing better. It's regardless of who's in front of us and who you're playing, whatever. Our competition is Oakland now, and it's us. You know, making sure that we there's opportunity there for us. But games like this, you'd like to win. If they had a different shortstop today, we would have. That's why there's nobody better than him. He's special. Watching him between pitches and everything, he's probably as engaged as shortstop, you know, a lot like JJ. They're in every pitch they watch. I was watching him last night. There was almost an errant throw by the catcher, just returned the ball to the pitcher with a man on second, and he broke to catch it halfway to the mound. That's an engaged shortstop you can tell he's having some kind of year. Now he's hitting like they thought. What's he been traded twice? Hope they got something good for him. Good.
All right, that is the Skipper Buck Showalter after a tough loss. They lose this one by a score of 5-4. And so for the Orioles, another one-run defeat. This season, the Orioles now two games under 500 in one-run games. They are now 13-15, and they wind up 2-4 against the Angels. One of the teams are competing in the American League with that wild card race. So, yeah, those are big head-to-head losses.